It is an honor to stand before you this evening. What we're going to talk about will mean something to you, but let me, before we begin our study this evening, take care of a couple of housekeeping type things. When we close together, we will do so with a closing song. After that closing song, I'll ask you just to sit back down where you are, and we'll allow the folks that are not staying for the devotional to run out the back door as quickly as possible. We encourage you to stay if you're a member here at Bethel or you're visiting. We encourage you to stay. Trust me, there's plenty of food. My wife's car was loaded down with chicken, so I guarantee you we've got enough for you to eat. So if you want to stay and be a part of the devotional time, please do that, and we will worship together even more after our meal this evening. So there's one little housekeeping. Just when you get finished, if you will, with the closing song, if you will, have a seat after our closing prayer. Tonight, what I want to talk about is to sort of lay the groundwork for what Philip is going to speak to our young people about this evening. If I were to ask you a question, if I were to say, what is God to you? What you might get is you might get a lot of these answers. Because these are biblical answers, and you can't go wrong with any of these. You look up there and you see things like omnipotent, almighty, everlasting. You see things like that and you say, yes, those are what God is. But here's the problem. Many people use those terms and have no clue what it is they're actually saying. And many people don't even use those terms. They might use those terms when they're talking to their church-going friends. But the bottom line is, that's not really what they think. So if I were to ask you, and you could be completely and totally honest, you could remove all chance of you feeling bad about your answer or you feeling nervous about your answer, then really what it boils down to is what I've heard, at least from most young people over the course of the last 12 years, is really God is one of two things to a lot of people. Not everyone, obviously not everyone, but to a lot of people, God fits in two places. We're going to talk about those two places this evening, and then the third and final point tonight will be what God really is. So if I were to ask you, what is God to you? You might say, well, God is all-powerful. And you'd be correct. What is God to you? God is all-knowing. And you'd be correct. God is the Creator. And again, you'd be right. But see, those are answers that are given sort of out of habit. What is God to you? Oh, God is all-powerful. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe? No, I'm not talking about what you're going to say in front of your youth minister if they ask you what Scott Wright talked about on Sunday night at the area wide at Bethel. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what you would say in a quiet, private moment. Do you really believe that God is all-powerful? Do you really believe that God is all-knowing? And I don't mean in some type of boogeyman, he's watching to catch you doing something type way. Do you really believe that God knows everything? Let's get more basic than that. Do you believe that God created the heavens and the earth? Yes, I know your Bible says that, but your Bible says a lot of things that I would bet you have trouble believing. But let's start with the most basic one. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Do you believe that? Now, working from that, we can start really finding out what God is to you. Now, like I said, there's really a couple of major points here that you can get at. One is you hear a lot of people sometimes talk about God being this angry God. That God is mean. He's vindictive. They act like God is the mean kid on a hot summer day who has a magnifying glass and he's sitting in front of an anthill, and every ant that pops its head out of the anthill, he zaps with the magnifying glass. They say, that's God. That's God. He waits for me to mess up and then he wants to zap me the minute I mess up. I read your Bible, I look at your Bible stories, and all I see is God getting revenge. God taking out his frustration or his anger on people. So they honestly believe that God is always looking for some way to punish them. I had a kid tell me one time that he even quoted Scripture. He said, the Bible says that God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. That just scares me. Are those words in your Bible? I hope you know they are. Those words are in your Bible. And this kid looked at fear in his eyes and he said, I don't know that I can really buy into God if that's who He is. He just sounds kind of mean. Is that what the Bible teaches? That God is a jealous God? Yes, it does. Does it teach God is a consuming fire? Yes, it does. But here's what I would challenge any young person that thinks that about. When you allow thought to creep into your mind, here's what you have to do. Is it creates panic, it creates fear in a relationship that should be all about peace, calmness, and assurance. You are creating, you are building up fear in a place where there is no fear. You are building up worry in a place where there shouldn't be worry. You're building up anxiety for yourself that you just don't need. So if you look at God tonight as some sort of mean, angry, vindictive God, then I have to tell you, you're seeing the wrong picture. God is certainly jealous when we put other things in front of Him. But He's not an angry, mean, vindictive being looking for some way to punish all mankind. God is not tonight searching for a way to make you feel bad. Too many people sit in a church pew, they come to an area-wide youth devo, and they sit with their youth group, and here's what happens a lot of times is the person, if it's me or anyone else, speaking, and you just sort of turn the volume knob down to zero. Because the truth is, you don't want to look in the mirror and really contemplate the things that are being talked about, because that puts you in a really uncomfortable spot. You see, a lot of times we don't like to examine ourselves, as the Bible speaks. We don't like to look inward. We don't like to look in the mirror, because a lot of times we don't really like what we see. And so it becomes easier for some people, not a lot, not all, but for some people it becomes much easier to say, well, God's just mean. He's just vindictive. You see, it's not my fault, it's God. God did this. God put me in this position, and God mistreated me, and God did this, and God did that. And the problem is, you haven't done anything except turn your back on Him. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's you tonight. Maybe for the first time in a long time, you actually look at yourself tonight and you say, you know what? He's right. For a really long time, I've sat in these pews and I've hummed along with these songs and I bowed my head when we prayed and I sort of listened while the guy spoke, and for a really long time, I've just said, you know what? At some point, I'll deal with God, but for right now, don't ask me to do it. Because I'm afraid of what God will do to me. The second idea is there's some people that believe God is a no strings attached kind of God. That God is basically there for them to use and abuse, but to never do anything for Him. They treat Him much like you would treat Santa Claus or maybe your favorite grandparent. He or she's there to spoil me, but truthfully, I don't want to have any type of relationship, nothing serious. People do that with God all of the time. I remember back in 2001 when September 11th happened. I was a college freshman at Freed Hardeman University. And I can remember having people yell and scream about, where was God when this happened? Where was God when that happened? Where was God? And I wasn't smart enough or mature enough to have this answer then. I wish I would have. Because now my answer is very simple. He was in the exact same place he was on September the 10th. He was in the exact same place on September the 12th. God never moved. See, a lot of times that's when they want to use God, is when something tragic happens in their life. They say, God, now I need you, okay? I need you to come in and fix all this. I made a big mess, and God, I need you to come on and I need you to fix it. Or maybe they want something really, really bad. They say, God, if you'll give me this, I promise. How many of us have done that? Don't raise your hand, because it would be everybody in the room. We've all done that. In a moment of immaturity, in a moment of spiritual immaturity, we've said, God, if you'll give me whatever it is you want, then I promise, God, I'll go to church more. I'll be more active. I'll sing out at church. I don't like singing, but I'll sing out. God, if you'll just give me what I want. They treat God like He's some sort of fixer just for them. That He's there at their disposal. That I'll use God for what I want, and then I can put Him to the side again and I won't have to deal with Him anymore. Opposite ends of the spectrum. And both create a problem. Both create a major problem. You see, in one sense, certainly of all good things, but He's not in existence to serve our every want and desire. What this does, it creates this false sense of security. This creates a false sense of respect and even a false sense of integrity. Because what you project to the world is that you are a believer in God. You are a Christian. What you live is something that's not to that level. And again, when you finally look at yourself in the mirror, you have to understand and you have to make the decision that yes, I have been using God and I have done nothing for Him. This relationship has been one way and one way only. God has done so much for me, and yet I have not tried one time to do anything for Him. And again, that's going to put you in a really uncomfortable position. That's going to put you in a really uncomfortable position because that false sense of security, that false sense of everything else is going to come crashing down at some point. And you will be faced with a choice. You will be faced with a decision. Do you have a relationship with God? That's the question. Do you have a relationship with God? When you look at your life and you look at the decisions that you make and the things that you do and the things that you say, does God show up in those things? Oh, He's there. Remember what we said at the beginning? That a lot of people say that God is all-knowing. God is all-powerful. He's omnipotent. He can be anywhere that He wants. He's there. But the question is, does He show up through your actions, through your words, through your thoughts? You see, it's really, really easy. I'm looking around this room, and this is a huge crowd of people. And the vast majority of these people are God-fearing, God-loving Christian people. I would say 90%+ of you in here are God-fearing, God-loving Christian people. And so it's really easy in here that when the preacher asks you, do you have a relationship with God, your answer is yes. Absolutely. I love God with all my heart. But if we were to ask you that same question on Saturday night, would we get a different answer? On Monday afternoon at work for you adults, when that person has finally antagonized you to the point of breaking, if we were to ask you that question then, what would the answer be? See, so many people take advantage of God, but not in the right way. So let's look at the third and final thing that God is. You see, what's really unique and what's really interesting about God is, in the most real way possible, God is neither of those things, yet both. I said, well, that's confusing. Is God a jealous God? Yes, we've already talked about that. Does God grow frustrated at times? Sure. Is God a giver? Absolutely. Of all good things. Is God there for you at all times? Yes. But you see, the problem is when you try to remove part of what God is because you don't want to deal with it. God truly is a just, loving Father. Deep down in your heart, you know. I'm not telling you anything new here. Deep down in your heart, you know what God is to you. It's really not some complex formula. It's not some scientific product. It's not some break it down in a lab and come up with some. It's none of that. It's really simple. Deep down in your heart, you know what God is to you. You know whether He's important to you or not. You know what it means to be a Christian. Now, where we have to make a line, though, in the sand, so to speak, is this. Is, are you living it out in your life? Or are you just treating God like we spoke of in the first two points? You don't want to deal with God because, in your opinion, God is angry, He's mean, He's vindictive, He's looking for ways to harm. No. No. Put that away tonight. No. You don't get to use that excuse tonight. That excuse doesn't work tonight, okay? It doesn't work. You can't hide behind that anymore. Not tonight, not tomorrow, and not for every day that God allows you to live on the face of this planet. You cannot hide behind that excuse anymore. God is not going to be your angry person that you push off to the side and you forget about and you don't want to deal with. That's not going to work tonight. No, I'm sorry. If you've been banking your entire existence, spiritually speaking, on the fact that you believe God to be angry, so therefore you're off the hook of dealing with Him, sorry, that excuse doesn't hold any water tonight. You have to face the decision whether you want a relationship with God or not. It really is that simple. Maybe you fit in that second category. Maybe you've been using and abusing God and it just hit you tonight. Your relationship with God has been one way and one way only. And you've been begging and demanding and asking and requesting and wishing and wanting. And yet God has asked you to do the most simplest of things and you can't do it. Or you can do it, you just won't. Maybe you find yourself in that position. And maybe you look at your life and you finally, for the first time tonight, get out from behind that excuse. That's what God's there for, isn't it? Maybe you get out from behind that excuse tonight and you realize that you have a job to do as a Christian. There is work to be done and you are going to do it. Listen to me. There is no plan B. Go read your Bible. Read it closely. God didn't create the church. Young people, when you get back to your home congregations, I want you to look around at the people that are in the church building with you. The people that are the church. I want you to look around and I want you to notice some of the people that used to be sitting in the pews around you that aren't there anymore. Young people, I want you to realize that one of the worst things that we've done to you is tell you you're the future of the church. You young people that are Christians, you are the church. And it's time to get to work. No more sitting on the sidelines. No more sitting in your section with the teens and hoping nobody asks you to do anything. God has called you to work. He has called you to work as a Christian. And it's time to stop allowing your relationship with God to be a one-way street. He's done everything for you. Think about just for a moment what it is that God did for you. Before you were even in existence on this planet, God had already sacrificed His Son on your behalf. Knowing that at certain points of your life you would turn your back to Him and you would sin willfully, He did it anyway. Knowing that there would be decisions that you would make that would harm your relationship between you and Him, and He did it anyway. He has done everything for you. Tonight you have to make this decision. What do you want your relationship with God to be? Are you going to continue to look at God in the way He's looking? I've always looked at God this way, so that's the way I have to look at God. No. Tonight you can change that. Tonight you can rewrite your answer to that question. You can rewrite your answer. You can answer that question with boldness, with confidence. What is God to you? He is everything. He is everything to me. I will not put anything above Him. I will not worship anything but Him. And He has told me through His Word that I have a job to do, and I am going to absolutely wear my life out doing that job. You can rewrite your answer tonight. Maybe perhaps you're not a Christian. Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you've never made that decision. Maybe you've never put on Christ in baptism. I'll tell you right now, that decision tonight. Many of you in this room were at CYC this past weekend, and I dare you to try to tell me that that was not an incredible experience to be at. To see that many young people and adults alike praising God, giving up an entire weekend to study and learn and praise God together. What an incredibly uplifting moment to be a part of. And I'm sure there were people at that event that decided to become a Christian at that event. I'm going to tell you, I know the people that work with CYC, and I know for a fact they don't care about how many people showed up. They love the fact that people decided to become Christians at that event. Tonight, I look around this room, and what an incredible audience it is. Let me tell you something. I would be just as happy if this auditorium were empty and only one person was here and that one person decided to become a Christian. The Bible tells you that heaven rejoices in that moment. What better way to start this next week than by starting over? You see, the Bible tells you in Romans chapter 6 that when you go down into the watery grave of baptism, you don't come up just a refurbished version of the old you. You come up out of the water a brand new creature. A brand new being. You're not some built-in, uploaded version of your old self. You are now a brand new creature. You are closer to God than you'll ever be in that moment. As you experience the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can have that feeling tonight. You can make that decision tonight. You can become a Christian. It will be the absolute greatest decision you've ever made in your entire life. I can guarantee you that. You can take that to the bank, because I promise you, it is a decision that you will never regret. Ever. But in an audience of this size, it may be that you are a Christian. Maybe that you are a Christian. And you realize tonight that your relationship with God is not where it should be. You've made some mistakes. You've made some bad decisions. You've made some bad choices. And what you look at in the mirror, you don't really like. And you've decided that tonight, you're tired of living a lie. You're tired of people asking you how you are and you answering fine when everybody knows you're not. And you want to make things right. I say this with all sincerity of heart. There is absolutely zero reason for you to walk out of this building tonight and not be right with Jesus Christ, and not be right with God. There's no reason. Or maybe you're a Christian, and honestly, you feel pretty strong in your faith. You feel like there's really not a whole lot that you could improve upon. Let me caution you, pride goeth before a fall. So maybe tonight, even though your faith is strong, you need the prayers of the church for that to continue. You feel like you might be slipping back into the world, and you want the prayers of the church. That opportunity is yours. If we can help you in any way, come now as we stand and as we sing.